Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
And welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We're having tech difficulty connecting to New Zealand. We'll see if we can get a hold of Jonathan Gray, who's got a great show every 2 weeks. Jonathan, I guess you're not online on Skype. Do you want to try?
Yes, Dr. Bill, I think we can go on Skype.
No, it's not showing you're online. I connected by phone because we're not doing it. It's not online. Whatever is happening there in New Zealand, it doesn't show you're online here from North America.
Okay, all right.
So what I want you to do is we'll try the next segment. Right now what I'd like you to do is just, I'm going to keep in my speakerphone, and we'll start off. We had some really good discussions about Ron Wyatt last few weeks and about the land bridge across where the exodus occurred across the Gulf of Aqaba last two weeks ago. What would you like to talk about today in your many exploits and the exploits of your colleagues, like Ron White, going back to the 70s? You had some pretty amazing stories, haven't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, this next one is where they came to after that across the Red Sea was Mount Sinai. Today, tourists are not being only taken to the wrong mountain, they're being taken to the wrong country where the mountain is.
Right.
So that makes a very interesting story how the whole thing came about.
What I'd like you to do today is explain, and I'd like to, because I often find what some of the principles in the Bible are, God has a four, we'll call expose of a specific event or specific scenario, because there's a later day event that's going to be similar to that, or like an archetype of it. Do you see that kind of playing out in terms of the exodus of people once the, I call the system called the Mark of the Beast, comes in place for Christians to escape or to leave Babylon? Because I see the similar thing where the ancient Hebrews and the Jews, the two houses of Israel, had to leave because of the horrendous state of affairs in Egypt, and they only allowed them to leave when they actually had the final plague, which killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, right?
That's right. There definitely are end-time scenarios associated with every one of these discoveries.
Right, so let's see if we can go through the discovery. Which one do you want to talk about today? The actual place of Mount Sinai?
Mount Sinai, yes.
Yeah.
And the interesting story of how it was discovered and how it came about, and the government's subterfuge, the religious sabotage attempts, and so on. Oh, it's a fascinating story.
Right, and of course it's interesting that a lot of these events happened in Saudi Arabia. They didn't happen in the places they said they happened. And Saudi, people have to know who the Saudi Arabians are. They are crypto Jews that converted to Islam about 2.5 centuries ago, and they actually run Saudi Arabia for the Special Activities Division of the CIA, which is why they're in a sense a proxy nation, just like the State of Israel is a proxy nation of the deep state and the international bankers that run the world. People don't know this, do they?
That's true.
Right. That's why I've referred to the State of Israel, which is not really Israel, it should be called Judah, but I refer to it, it's a real hell. Do you like that? It's a real hell?
Well, you could say that, yeah.
Well, the thing is, and the things that are going to happen in the next few years, and even our president, who I support, has done things which I need to get through to the character so he kind of repents before it happens. He's very parallel to King Herod Agrippa. We've talked about this in previous shows. He's going to support his capitalistic warlock son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's a marketing genius, which is part of the reason why he got elected. But also, they support Rabbi Schneerson and the plan to honor the Jews by building a temple in Jerusalem, starting the blood sacrifice, which is an abomination which desolates. It has to be done on Sukkot. So if you actually take the Hebrew feast days of Sukkot and go 1,230 days, it goes to Yom Kippur. 1,260 days, it goes to Pesach. Exactly halfway through the 2,520th day is Yom Teruha, which is the Feast of the Trumpets, or Long Blowing, when the final end of the destruction of the earth occurs, and God rescues his people, as he says in Mark 5. So yeah, there's end-time events about to happen here, and I believe that a lot of these are going to happen during the second term of Donald Trump. Wild, eh?
Are you on air or off air at the moment?
We are on air. So believe it or not, as shocking as it is, I'm still saying this on air. So I want you to talk about Mount Sinai, because it's interesting. Why did they hide the story about the real Mount Sinai? And tourists are going to the wrong mountain, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Tourists are paying for a fortune between themselves. Millions of dollars are being spent by tourists, and they're all being taken to the wrong mountain.
Which mountain are they being taken to, and where is the real mountain?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened, first of all. The real mountain, the real mountain is in Saudi Arabia, and the false mountain is in what's so-called Sinai Peninsula under the jurisdiction of Egypt.
Right.
People are going to Egypt thinking they're going to Mount Sinai. They're not at all.
No.
Now, how it happened was this. Way back in the 4th century, Constantine, the Roman Emperor, passed a Sunday law in which people were forbidden to work on Sunday, and Sunday became the day of worship. Most Christians were still keeping the Sabbath, Saturday, right through the Christian world, from China right through to as far as human beings went. Saturday was the day of worship that had been taught by the apostles, and so the whole world was observing it.
Right.
Now, under his jurisdiction, Constantine saw that there was the pagan world keeping Sunday and the Christian world keeping Saturday, and this was dividing his empire.
Right.
And being a good politician, he wanted to unite the empire, so he passed a Sunday law that everyone had to follow. That was his motive.
Right. And that's interesting. So this has a tie-in with the wrong Sinai, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it has a link-up with this story.
Right. Please continue.
Now, his mother, Constantine, actually saw a backlash coming from Christians who were keeping the Sabbath Saturday, but he didn't want trouble in his empire. He wanted to unite everybody, and Sunday became the means by which he was going to unite everybody together. Now, to keep the Christians happy, he said to his mother, Queen Helena, "Mother, you go down to the Middle East, and we've got to do something now to compensate the Christians. We've taken away their day of worship. Now, let's go and give them something so that we can still be looked upon as good people looking after them."
Right.
So she went down to the Middle East, and she found two places and made them Christian sites, even though they were both fakes. Neither of them was genuine.
Right.
She went down to Egypt. She looked at a place between the two branches of the Red Sea, and she picked out this mountain, and she said, "We'll say we've found Mount Sinai, so Christians can make pilgrimages down to that area." And that became the Mount Sinai, which is now visited by people even today.
So Helena did this as a scam to try to appease Christians who had had their day of worship taken away.
Now, that's right.
By the way, the day of worship is not just a symbolic day. It's actually reliance on God every day. That, in other words, in order to do good, you have to do God. It had an extra O. So the fact is, the Sabbath means the Sabbath means a rest in God every day and every moment of your life. Your life should be a prayer, because you always consult God before you do anything. That's what the Sabbath rest means. That's not just a day a week, but that's sacred, but it's also a positional relationship with God, where every day is a heavenly day where you rely on God to decide what is good or evil, right?
and we follow, if we follow his commands, we don't make up for ourselves what we're going to do.
Exactly. It's not, in other words, it's like a judicial thing. It's a justice thing where the judge is God, and he tells what is good or evil. The problem is, you see, doing what is right in our own eyes is the definition, according to Genesis, of evil. And in fact, 98% of what the devil does looks, tastes, and smells good. So people call it good because they've got sacraments, they've got a false day, they've got all kinds of things that are works gospel, and it's not godly. It's actually anti-Christian. It's actually Luciferic, and it's a dialectic of destruction, isn't it?
It's not doing what God has asked us to do.
Right.
Now, the other thing that Queen Helena did was she went to what the land of what today is called Israel, to Jerusalem, and she picked out a site which would be called the Tomb of Jesus, which is not the real tomb at all. And that became the place of the Holy Sepulchre that is visited by tourists today in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's the Orthodox Church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, right?
That is right, yes. Run by the Roman Catholic Church.
I'll give you a story about that when we come back. You'll be surprised.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Well, you know, I have a little story. I give you a quickie version of it, but I'm going to repeat it a bit. In 1992, I had a pastor come to Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was back from Georgia at the time, working in the trauma burn unit, running a Mulder doctor practice. And our church called us and said, hey, we got a pastor coming in from Ontario who's going to head to Jerusalem, and he needs to stay here by the Halifax International Airport. I said, fine, he can stay with us. So we were standing in our kitchen praying a night while he was staying with us. And I had this vision that I was going to have a man come to me in Jerusalem, in the near future, and he told me his name was Nicola Saliba, and that he was going to show us stuff. And so I told the pastor this while we're staying there praying in our kitchen in Enfield, Nova Scotia, and he invited us that day, and 3 weeks later we're in Jerusalem, and we're up on the Mount of Olives in the Tom Hunson's House of Prayer. 3 a.m. that first night, we were tired as anything, God said, get up, you've had a few hours of sleep, now go to Jerusalem and stay there and pray until I tell you to leave. So I did. And of course, I hear God audibly sometimes in dreams and visions or audibly. So I go to Jerusalem on Friday morning, and I'm going to a specific gate. I walk in there, and a man comes up to me looking. He says, bakshish, bakshish. He put up this man wanting silver, right? You know, he wanted shekels. And I didn't know what the heck he wanted because I didn't understand what bakshish was. And all of a sudden, he pulled out a knife about to stab me. And this man came up to us and says, I've seen you in the vision. And he stopped this guy from stabbing me. He says, my name is Nicola Saliba, the very guy who I've been told by name in this vision with this pastor weeks earlier. He said, I'm a stonemason of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Russian Orthodox Church in East Jerusalem. And I'm supposed to take you to these senior priests over at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre to show you things. Now, I did not get a confirmation in my spirit that these were correct. They were trying to say that Jesus died up here on this cross at the top of the inside of the church area, and that his blood went down to a special chamber below. I didn't get any confirmation that this was correct. You know, like I call it the Urim and Thummim stones in your soul, a yes or no. But now that you tell me the story, it tells me that confirms the reason why God showed me this is another scam set up by Constantine in the early pagan druidic takeover of the Catholic Church, because modern Catholicism and much of the daughter Christian Church are basically druidic, aren't they? They're druids. Right?
Okay.
And so this is another one of the fake things, like the fake worship, because worshiping on Sunday doesn't mean you rely on God. It means you rely on the sun god, which is Ra, the ancient Egyptian sun god, or the pagan god that the Druids worship, don't they?
That's right.
So please continue.
It's not obeying God at all.
No, it's not. It's,
he's asked us specifically to worship him on the day on which was a commemoration that he made the earth. In other words, it's in memory of the fact that he's our creator and we owe him worship. He says, worship me on that day to show that you believe this. And
exactly. Yeah. You taught me something else really interesting. The first, basically, jihad called up by the first descendants of Muhammad was to kill the people with the tonsure or the sun worship, you know, hat, like, you know, King Friar Tuck, you know, was the, you know, with Maid Marian and Friar Tuck and Robin Hood. Well, the friar head haircut was to actually make sure that they were Sunday worshippers, and the Muslims were told only kill those that have the tonsure or the sun worshipper cut on their hair, which shows the bare skull with the hair on the margins. And in fact, that's interesting you taught me that, because it means the Muslims even knew that they were supposed to kill these false worshippers worshiping on the wrong day. In fact, one of these bizarre things is that I heard this story, and I think it's probably true, that we had this young man who was pretty inquisitive. His name was Muhammad. And he wasn't necessarily a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. But what he did is he knew that the Catholic Church and the Jews were both in apostasy. And one of the first things he wanted to do was basically say, he visited them and saying, you know, you're apostate. You got to fix what you're doing in your church. It's wrong. And later, he had discussions. He even wrote the parts of his so-called Quran, or verbal tradition, where he had this argument with his wife and said, I'm not sure if I was talking to God or Satan, which is why Salman Rushdie, the Islamic scholar in Britain, got in trouble for the satanic letters, because he actually talked about this discussion that's in the Quran and Hadith. And people don't understand that Muhammad's not a prophet. He's just an inquisitive guy who knew that the Catholic Church at the time, I think it was about the 6th century, was thoroughly apostate, and that so was Judaism, which was basically the Sadducees and Pharisees. People need to know that. And the early Muslims understood that, and then they went off and made their own apostate religion with their various versions of Islam. Of course, God will use other people, just like he used the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, which means king of kings. It's in the, kind of a play against God. And he made him even live like a wild animal for 7 years. So God has a sense of humor, too, doesn't he, in this?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Now, as we were talking about the fake areas out by Constantine's mother.
Right.
It's interesting that this traditional site where tourists go today is absolutely impossible. There's not enough room for a nation of people to stand there by the mountain, let alone even an army, even a medium-sized army. So this could not fit the Bible story at all. Also, the Sinai Peninsula lay within the territory of Egypt, so the Israelites who had escaped Egypt would avoid it.
Right. It's on the wrong side of the Gulf of Aqaba too, right?
That's right, yes. And the Gulf of Aqaba is the arm of the Red Sea where all the Pharaoh's army was drowned. So this would be the other side, where after the Israelites had escaped them, would be on the other side. And the other side of the water is Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Now, interestingly also, in the biblical account, Mount Sinai is closely connected with the land of...
Go ahead. Oh, we lost our connection there. Or we're going to reconnect here. Okay. We'll be back in just a second here. We're just reconnecting with Jonathan.
The customer you are calling is unavailable at the
point. Oh, yes, he is. I'm sure he's available. We're just going to... We can connect. Well, we're having technical difficulties. I'm sure that there's the dark side is trying to prevent this truth from coming out. It's interesting that people of Saudi Arabia probably should know about this in their ancient history and traditions, too.
The customer you are calling is unavailable at the moment. Please...
Well, isn't that strange, okay? Let's see if we can reconnect. Let's see if I can try once more. See if we can get reconnect here.
Somehow we got cut off.
We got to cut off, but we're back. Okay, please continue your story.
Yes. Now, once they crossed the Gulf of Aqaba arm of the Red Sea, that would land them in Saudi Arabia. And the Bible says that in where Moses had been originally when he fled from Egypt, it was to Midian. And then at the burning bush, God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to go to Egypt and bring the people back to this mountain. So he was to return to the same place where he had fled,
right,
which was outside Egypt's jurisdiction.
Exactly.
Saudi Arabia.
Isn't that, keep that thought. We'll be right back. We're going to be in a break for a minute, but I'm sure we got our audio fixed now. We'll be right back, Jonathan.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Back with Jonathan, and we've got good audio now. Jonathan, I'd like you to explain this about why are these particular things, the geographic location, so important? Why is it that they have a phony Church of the Holy Sepulchre where they claim that Jesus died on the cross and his blood went down to the special chamber below, etc.? What's the significance of this in terms of eschatology and end-time stuff? Why is it important?
Well, let's continue the story first, Dr. Bill.
Right.
Where is Midian? Midian is known, in fact, there's no dispute on where Midian is. It's pretty much accepted as being in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Northwest Saudi Arabia.
Right.
By all people. Now, when we go to the New Testament, we're also told that people that only read their Bibles, they wouldn't be going to the wrong place.
Right.
They're spending their money for nothing. In Galatians 4:25, St. Paul identifies the location. And how could we have missed that for so long? Referring to Paul's passage, he says that Hagar represents the mountain in Arabia, Mount Sinai. And now Hagar actually was a maidservant of Abraham's wife Sarah, and she gave birth to a son by Abraham, and his name was Ishmael. He's the progenitor of the Arabs.
Right.
And they ended up down in what is today Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So it's very, very clear Mount Sinai, if you're going to look for it, it will be in Saudi Arabia. And as you go to the area, we find the evidence actually comes alive. Now, when Ron Wyatt had found initially the chariot parts and chariot wheels and skeletal parts of horses and men scattered across the seabed in the Gulf of Aqaba, leading to Saudi Arabian coast, he knew that Mount Sinai would be in Arabia, and he wanted to go and find the evidence of it. Now, if you know a Saudi Arabian protocol, it's a forbidden land. Welcome to Saudi Arabia. Keep out. just try to get a visa to enter Saudi Arabia. Ask your travel agent.
Right, yeah,
and
not
for many years, there's been no way unless some Saudi citizen sponsors you for a job. And rich in oil, Saudi Arabia has neither needed nor wanted tourists, especially non-Muslims.
Right.
And when Ron Wyatt and his two sons, Danny and Ronnie, went in looking for Mount Sinai, they were arrested as Israeli spies and locked up for 78 days after they'd been betrayed by an American friend.
Wow.
What happened was this. Ron tried to get in legally, and he couldn't do so. So he went across with his two sons to the land of Jordan and sneaked across the border there, where there was along the border further inland, where there was no tourist.
Because Jordan has a border with Saudi Arabia, doesn't it?
That's right, yes, it does. And where there was no border control further inland, he just sneaked across from one country into another. And then by hitchhiking, he came down to the area that he thought would be, because he'd studied the maps earlier, he came down to the area he thought might be the area, and he went looking, and he found what he was looking for. There, Moses, 3,500 years ago, had written a list. And that list we have of all the things that should be there if the site is a genuine site. Now, on the way out, they were going across the border again, and suddenly there were people waiting for them. They were arrested. Because one of our team, one of the discovery team, had actually, out of jealousy, gone to the authorities, Saudi Arabia, and says there's an Israeli spy with his two sons going into Saudi Arabia. They are not supposed to be there. Catch them, because they are spying on the Saudi Arabian people. They are spies, and they're Israeli spies.
Really?
Now, they were arrested, and they were put into a cell, locked up for 78 days. And the cockroaches were running over the floor, human excrement, everything was filthy. And they knew that if they were convicted as Israeli spies, that would be the end of them. And so they prayed for help. And eventually somebody came to visit them. And Ron said, look, we're not spies. We are actually archaeologists. We've been down there and we've found things which will prove the true Mount Sinai. And so the authorities flew them down in a helicopter to the place along the coast where Ron said there should be something, because on the Egyptian side there was a monument erected by King Solomon in memory of the Red Sea crossing. And Ron guessed that there may be a monument on the Saudi side to match the one on the Egyptian side at both ends of the crossing. And sure enough, it was there. When they saw that, they knew that Ron was not a spy. He was actually genuine after archaeological findings. And they realized they could have created an international scene by executing three Americans as Israeli spies when they were not spies. And so they wanted to punish the man who had given the wrong report out of jealousy. But Ron says, no, don't do that. Let God deal with it. And it's very, very interesting that when Ron got back to the United States, he was interviewed on 2020, and he rang the man. He phoned the man, actually. And on the phone, when the man realized Ron was still alive and he was safely back in America, he had a heart attack right there on the phone.
Wow.
And his lies were exposed. Now, Ron actually had spoken to two of his friends about his secret trip into Saudi Arabia. It was this man who he trusted who betrayed him, but the other one was James Irwin, the astronaut, who Ron trusted also. And Ron had said, if I'm not back out within 2 weeks, I'll be in trouble. Try to help me. Get me out. So James Irwin actually was the man who got Ron released from Saudi Arabia. And the confirmation of him not being a spy was of course then made public. So that's very interesting how it comes about. But down there he found the 14 things that Moses had listed. Every one of those things was there.
Right. Now, why do you think there's so much significance that a lot of these special sites are in Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia is a key link in terms of the world economy. The largest amount of actual dynastic wealth is actually restored in Saudi Arabia, places like Whitehall, England. Saudi Arabia also is a major investor through King Alawi bin Talal in the social media companies that are part of the Matrix. There's a lot of connections here, isn't there? And Saudi Arabia is a proxy of the Special Activities Division of the CIA, because people have to understand the oil-backed dollar since the fall of the gold-backed dollar back with Nixon is a very key part of the New World Order Mark of the Beast system. 90% of the currency on Earth is actually oil-backed U.S. Federal Reserve notes, isn't it? 90% of all the currencies on the planet. And Saudi Arabia is directly responsible for that, aren't they?
Getting back to Mount Sinai, the entire top of the mountain is blackened as if charred by some tremendous heat. It looks like it's made of coal. It looks exactly as if the very top portion of the entire top of the mountain has been evenly scorched. And you know what the Bible says? It says Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire.
Oh, really?
We might ask, is this burnt top the result of the consuming fire of God's own presence when he came down
for
the nation of people?
Right. Interesting.
Now, there's also a cave up near the top of the mountain, just below the peak. And the Bible does say that Elijah, when he went into hiding away from Queen Jezebel, he went into
Horus. Keep that thought, Wilbury.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Announcement. Jonathan's back usually every 2 weeks now. Because I'm going to be coming back on Wednesday, I'm going to have my other guests do some live shows on Wednesday the 24th. We're going to do a show an hour earlier on the 25th, which is between our wellness hour and the first hour with Ryan, and the third hour with Scott Adams. So that'll be an hour earlier on Thursday, the day after we get back. So Jonathan will be back in 2 weeks. Jonathan, I'd like you to continue your story because it's very interesting. In this last segment, can you make any conclusions of what this means in the end times? Because Saudi Arabia is a main player in the New World Order, aren't they? I mean, even their Sophia computer that gave Saudi a citizenship and their investment in AI. In fact, this kid, Prince Alawi bin Talal, is a major investor in trying to bring a new industry to Saudi Arabia. And they're heavily invested into the Matrix, aren't they? Into artificial intelligence and digital media, etc.
Right, well, we'll get into some of the things that are found here first before we go into...
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to make a quick kind of summary conclusion at the end, but please continue. Because we were talking about this cave too at the top that you mentioned about this prophet, so please talk about this cave at the top of this Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
That's the real mountain in Saudi Arabia.
just below the one peak, there is a cave. And it's interesting that in the Bible, Elijah was hiding from Queen Jezebel, who wanted his wife. He said he went into Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Horeb is the name of the mountain range, actually, where Mount Sinai is. And Horeb is one of the names still used in Saudi Arabia for that area. It says, Elijah went to Horeb, the mountain of God. The mountain of God is with the same mountain where God said to Moses, and he was in the burning bush, come and bring the Israelites to this mountain. It's the same mountain where God came down and proclaimed the Ten Commandments publicly. And wrote it on tables of stone. And it's the same mountain where Elijah fled, and he came to a cave and lodged there. And sure enough, right up there near the top of the mountain is this cave,
which
fits the description. Then there's an ancient brook. The Bible talks about a brook that descended out of the mount. And on the face of this mountain, there extends evidence of an ancient stream that originated high in the mountain. And the waters spill down through the southern part of the holy precinct, turning east and then flowing to the edge of the boundary markers, which we can discuss perhaps in another broadcast.
Right.
Then turning and flowing north. And that path is still visible today, the path of the stream that came down that the Bible talks about.
Well, that's unusual to have a stream arise in a mountain, because usually you're talking about aquifers, unless there's primary water where you're coming deep inside the earth and then it ascends into the mountain and forms a stream. That would be what I would think.
That's right. Now, also, the Bible story relates that God instructed Moses to set bounds unto the people, a barrier so the people could not approach the mountain. And this area around the foot of the mountain is enclosed by huge 18-foot diameter round columns. You can't see these except you come closely to them, because over the intervening 3,500 years soil and rock has accumulated around them, raising the ground level, but today the tops of some of these can still be seen sticking up through the ground. Now, another thing is the altar for the golden calf. While Moses was up on the mountain receiving the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the people built an altar for the worship of an Egyptian golden calf. Aaron, Moses' brother, actually buckled under the pressure of the people who had lived in a pagan land, and he built the pagan golden calf for them to drink.
Now, why was the Apis bull?
We don't know what's happening to him.
Now, the Apis bull was built there by Aaron, then, right?
That's right. And there today is the altar still standing with carvings of the Egyptian golden calf right around it.
Wow. And you've been by this place. Now, how did you manage to get in there because of all of this restrictions that happened with Ron Wyatt?
Oh, look, this actually is an interesting story. It'll probably take another broadcast.
Right.
But what I'd like to do is mention that you've got that altar, and it's very unmistakably Hebrew in origin. There's also a seven-branch lampstand, as was built inside the Jewish tabernacle, the Hebrew tabernacle. And there's evidence here that the Hebrews were here. And now just recently has come to light the most astonishing carving of all the carvings around that mountain. And this is a carving of Moses himself parting the sea.
Wow.
It's being called the Moses Stone, and even the Saudi Arabians are admitting that this is the mountain of Moses.
Right.
So it's not a secret to them. And this proves that this was carved by the Hebrews. And we're hoping to get some further evidence of that shortly. There's a possibility of getting into Saudi Arabia in a few months' time at the invitation of one of the princes, and we hope to bring really solid evidence out that has not been possible to bring out in the past.
If you do that, I'm sure you'll make it into a video, and it'll be available on your site, beforeus.com.
Yes, absolutely.
In the last couple of minutes here, there's always a four presentation of something and a latter day. why are all these ancient sites so important to not only the ancient Judaism and Hebrew and the Most High God presenting the commandments to man? And Saudi Arabia, okay. Saudi Arabia is a major player. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, what is happening is this, and this is why there's been so much drama against the discovery and so many attempts to kill or imprison people who've tried to get in. And we've had a succession of people who have actually been able to get in recently, and one of them was a family, Jim and Penny Caldwell. They came 14 times and they've added thorough evidence to what has already been found, to the documentation before. And one of the things they found was including the split rock where the water came out of the rock when Moses was told to, when the people complained for lack of water, it's right there on the back side of the mountain, exactly where the Bible says it was.
Really?
And then there has been in an Asian doctor who was a doctor to the King of Arabia in recent years. He's gone in and he has confirmed the sites. And then another team member that went to my lectures, actually, he was not a Christian. He accepted Jesus Christ through my lectures as I was in London. He went down and he got into Saudi Arabia. And as a result of one of the Saudi Arabian princes, now there is a way open for us to return. So we're going to get in this time legally, and we will not have any fear of being arrested. So it's just a matter of a financial arrangement we have to make. And once this is done, we will be able to bring out more evidence. Now, as to how this applies to the end times, the big event for Mount Sinai was the pronouncement of the Ten Commandments to the whole nation of people. Now, this is the key factor for the end days. The Ten Commandments was given for the first and only time by the voice of God audibly before a whole nation of people at Mount Sinai. And we believe that the discovery of these things has been kept until now for one reason. This is the age of skepticism. This is the time when people are going to be required to take the mark of the beast, which Rome, the beast, the beast power is Rome, the Vatican. She claims to be the power that changed God's law.
Right.
God's law was recited at Mount Sinai, and when the beast issues its mark, and Rome says, Sunday is my mark of power over the Christian world. And that's the claimed mark of the beast. Just like the Sabbath in the Bible is God's claimed mark of his rulership, so the beast claimed mark is Sunday worship. And this is a spiritual issue, not a physical issue, nor a financial issue, except that those who will not accept the mark of the beast will not be allowed to buy or sell.
Do you think there'll be a lot of saved out of Islam that come out of Saudi Arabia? Because it sounds like this may be a witness to the local people there to come out of her, that literally Islam, which is an apostate religion as well, and that maybe the first witness will be to the literally the sons and daughters that were the descendants of Moses with the handmaiden that rose the Arabic people to the time of the end. Maybe there's something there, isn't there?
Well, when God spoke, when the Lord impressed on one wire to go looking for the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the same Ten Commandments that God wrote on Mount Sinai, he was told that this will come out at the time when the Mark of the Beast is being issued around the world. In other words, get turned to Sunday and you're going to be forced by law to keep Sunday. Then it becomes the Mark of the Beast, and the Ten Commandments that was written on Mount Sinai is going to come out and be sending shockwaves around the world.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.